ABC Radio Australia.
To Solomon Islands, where Prime Minister Manese Sogavare is seeking to fast-track legislation that would extend parliamentary term limits. The move has been heavily criticised by opposition MPs, who've called it an abuse of power. It comes amidst growing concern over law and transparency in several Pacific nations. To unpack this all a bit, I'm joined by the CEO of Transparency International Australia, Clancy Moore. Good morning to you, Clancy.
Lovely to be here.
Now, let's start with this case in Solomon Islands. Now, the opposition has accused the government of hijacking the parliamentary process by, you know, fast-tracking this debate and trying to pass this amendment that would extend parliamentary term limits. A lot happening there. What's your take on what's happening?
Yeah, look, there is a lot going on in the Solomon Islands, and I think anything that silences debate and reduces the parliament's really important role to discuss legislation, unfortunately, really undermines people's faith in government and democracy. So I think any changes that limit proper and open and transparent debate kind of raise red flags for the people of Solomon Islands. And as Ruth Lilakula, the chief executive of Transparency International in Solomon Islands, said, the proposed changes are like a bombshell for the people of the Solomons. And we would say that the Pacific Games that are planned for next year aren't the best reason to amend the constitution and delay the planned election that is due in May 2023.
Yes, that is what the government has said. That's why they are seeking to extend the term limits. And we have invited members of the Solomon Islands government to the show. We're still awaiting a response. But Clancy, you know, I guess the elephant in the room is China. And underlining this is concern that China's increased attention, not only to the Pacific, but most particularly to Solomon Islands with its security partnership, is what's creating this and what could be influencing this turn and these concerns around democracy there. Do you believe there's weight to that argument?
Look, there is a lot of interest in the Pacific at the moment, and that's a really positive thing. I think, you know, communities in the Pacific are on the front line of dealing with climate change. We're also coming out of the pandemic and, you know, communities and industry were particularly hit hard by the lack of tourism and the movement of people in the Pacific due to COVID. So there are many governments paying very close attention to what happens in the Pacific. This includes obviously China and the US, but also Australia, the UK and the European Union. I think what's really concerning is the trend towards greater secrecy and a sort of silencing of debate. And, you know, we've seen attacks on independent media and, you know, threats to civil society groups. And these play a really important role as a sort of check and balance on democracy and how a parliament operates. So, you know, our chapters Pacific, including in the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea and Fiji, they understand the role that transparency and integrity play for a strong democracy. And, you know, any moves that could have eat away at these pillars of democracy are a real concern. And, you know, what we're seeing is, unfortunately, across many countries, including in the Pacific, is governments and systems of politics where you have them operating under a blanket of secrecy. And often deals are made behind closed doors. And as I said before, you know, where there are attempts to silence civil society and media, this does kind of tend itself to more autocratic regimes, which ultimately impact communities and people on the ground.
And do we know what could lead to this? I mean, speaking more broadly, why might we be seeing a rise in undemocratic governance or authoritarianism, not only in the Pacific but elsewhere?
Yeah, we're seeing a trend globally, but also in the Pacific. And I think the impact of COVID really drove governments to operate more in secrecy and, you know, saw greater corruption risks as well as that trend increased. We're also seeing in the Pacific and this is a really positive thing, rapid investments in infrastructure and money in to invest in infrastructure, in renewable technologies, which are really important, of course, to meet the challenges of the sustainable development and the energy transition. However, we also know that when there's big flows of money coming in, this increases the risk of corruption and poor governance as well.
Okay, so I guess more attention to the Pacific can be a good thing, but there is another side to it. If you are just tuning in to Pacific Beat, we're speaking to the CEO of Transparency International Australia, Clancy Moore. We're talking about governance and democracy in the Pacific region. This is all prompted by several high-profile cases and concerns that, you know, good governments might be falling to the wayside in some Pacific countries. Now, we've been talking mainly about Solomon Islands and this move to extend term limits there. But we've also just been talking about earlier in the show, Kiribati's government suspending its senior judges. In Fiji, there have been concerns over increasing government surveillance in the lead up to elections. Thinking more broadly across the region, are there concerns or are there valid concerns that things are getting worse in the Pacific when it comes to governance and democracy?
Yeah, so last year we did a corruption barometer study in the Pacific with our chapters in the Pacific and showed some really interesting regional trends. The Pacific barometer that Transparency International undertook interviewed 6,000 men and women living in the Pacific across 10 countries and territories and kind of asked them, you know, what they thought about corruption, if they've experienced it and how they think things can change. And look, on a worrying trend, the data showed that I think 61% of people thought corruption is really significant in their government in particular, and just over 56% of people thought it was getting worse. However, it's important to say that on a positive note, the research showed that 7 in 10 respondents think that ordinary people can make a difference in the fight against corruption, and that's really important for groups like Transparency International. And what's also essential to tackling corruption and promoting good democratic systems of governance is that a country's political systems are strong, they're transparent, and they're open as well. So we really see the role of Transparency International and local communities being key to that. And I think if civil society is supported by countries like Australia and others, I'm pretty positive that we'll see, you know, some really good steps in terms of strengthening democracy in our region.
You said ordinary people there can make a difference, but, you know, can be tough in some places in the region where speaking out can land you, you know, prison time or the scrutiny of authorities. What can ordinary people do to improve governance, transparency and democracy, given those risks?
Yeah, look, the risks to civil society are really acute, and there's something that our chapters in the Pacific are very, very aware of, particularly when there's big infrastructure projects or big mining projects, or, you know, when they're speaking out against government as well. So it's really important that citizens have rights to shine a light on government if they're acting as, you know, independent media, or even if they're trying to blow the whistle on corruption and mismanagement of funds, for example, that they're protected under law as well. So they're some of the kind of, you know, building blocks of transparency and protection for civil society actors. But more broadly, we need to see more support for journalists, particularly investigative journalists and a free press across the Pacific, but also programs that can support civil society groups to actually hold governments to account using evidence and research and being able to speak credibly on those issues that I discussed earlier.